Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 96. Psalms chapter 96. I want to thank you for your generosity, especially the Dashes. They have rolled out the red carpet for us. We feel really special. In fact, it's going to be really hard not to steal Mrs. Dash, because she's just been taking the kids and it's just been a huge, huge help and a huge blessing to us. And I want to thank them and thank others of you that we've met and we'll meet. And you've just been a huge blessing to us. We praise the Lord for that. Been really encouraged these last couple of days. So Psalm chapter 96 is what Charles Spurgeon called the missionary hymn of the Old Testament. And there's so much here in Psalm chapter 96. In fact, I want to read it real quick, and then we'll look at it verse by verse. Psalm 96, verse 1 says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for He cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with His truth." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for who You are and what You've done. Lord, I thank You for allowing us to be here this evening. Lord, I thank You for allowing us to be used in Your work. Lord, I thank You for the wonderful partnership that we have with this church. Lord, I pray that You'd continue to bless us both together as we seek to bring honor and glory to Your name. Lord, open up our hearts to receive Your message this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So if I were to ask you one question, and I think this is probably one of the most important questions that you could be asked, I want you to not answer it out loud, but think about the answer to the question. Do you know the answer to this question? What were you created for? What were you created for? What is your main purpose in life? In fact, I was born and raised in an independent Baptist church, and I don't even know if I could articulately answer that question. But the Bible tells us that we were created to glorify God. That's what we were created for. We were created for God's glory. In fact, our job as Christians is to bring glory to God. That's what we should be doing all the time. In fact, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever we do, eating, drinking, we need to do all to the glory of God. In fact, your pastor has been talking a lot about this. In fact, Colossians 3, verses 1 all the way to chapter 4, verse 6 are wonderful practical things. How we should act in our family and our job. Wonderful message this morning. What a great blessing that was. But you can be in your job. You can work your job for the glory of the Lord. When we do it in a way that God has prescribed in His word, we do it to the glory of the Lord. You can also raise your family to the glory of the Lord. You can wash dishes to the glory of the Lord, knowing that this is something that needs to be done in this family, and thank the Lord for the mouths that He's given us to feed, and do it in a heart, in a service of love to our family. You can do anything to the glory of the Lord. You can drive to work to the glory of the Lord, right? You sleep to the glory of the Lord. You're not up till 3 o'clock in the morning surfing on Facebook or watching junk or anything like that. You give your body the right amount of sleep that you need, and you don't oversleep. You're not lazy, right? You give your body the right amount. You do that to the glory of the Lord, right? Whenever we live our life in accordance to God's word, we bring glory to the Lord. In fact, this missionary hymn of the Old Testament, we see that this is all about the glory of the Lord. In fact, I see there are 9 different ways in this psalm that we can give glory to the Lord. I don't know how long, if we'll be able to look at every single one of those in detail, but let's go ahead and start looking at them. How we can bring glory to the Lord. Verse 1, it says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth." So the first way that we can bring glory to the Lord in this text is to sing a new song. You know what that means? It means we need to throw away these hymn books. We need to maybe get rid of this pulpit and get a praise team and only sing new songs, right? But where does that new song stop? I mean, can you only sing songs from 2022, or can you sing songs from 2020? Or what is a new, I'm joking. I hope you understand. What is a new song in the Bible? I think one of the best definitions of a new song is Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1 through 3, it says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." And what does the next verse say? "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord." So what is this new song? Psalm 40 defines it as a song of praise to God for his wonderful works. Amen. A song of praise to God. So in this definition, an old song can be a new song. In fact, when you sing out of the Psalter, right? These psalms that were written over 2,000 years ago, thousands of years ago, right? You are singing a new song, because a new song is a song of praise to God for his mighty works. The chiefest of those works being in the salvation of you and me, right? And so when we sing and we praise God for his wonderful works, we are singing a new song. Now notice it says, "Sing unto the Lord all the earth." God's desire is not for this new song just to be sung in Emmaus, Pennsylvania, or Muskogee, Oklahoma, but it's for all the earth to sing this new song. In fact, Revelation 7, verses 9, in fact, let's look at verses chapter 5, verse 9. It says, "And they," so these are people who are saved, "they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." Notice this, "out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Here's the text of a new song. They're praising God for saving them. "You've redeemed us," right? "You've bought us back. Thank you for saving us," right? And they sing this new song. This is a song that praises and glorifies God. And notice it says, "You've redeemed us out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." God is great, and God is working in every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and using his servants to reach people in these areas, and praise his name for that. So this new song is a song that glorifies God for his mighty works, for his salvation. We praise him for who he is. In fact, if we were to look at all the other texts I have here, you can see that sometimes this new song is sang in the congregation of saints, so in the church. Sometimes this song is sang out in front of the heathen, what this means by people that don't know God, right? So God's desire is to see the earth sing to him this new song. The second way we can glorify the Lord is in verse 2. It says, "Sing unto the Lord, bless his name." Now think about this. What is God's name? What do you think is meant here by God's name? There's a debate, like, how should we refer to God? Is it Yahweh, or is it Jehovah, or is it Adonai, or is it Elohim, or what is it? What is it, right? But I don't think, being in a culture, living in a culture where people don't say things like Americans say things, right? People, if they try to say my name, they would say Daniel, right? And it just doesn't sound right, right? I would rather them say my name in their own language, Daniel. It sounds more natural. It sounds more, and I don't think God is worried about us trying to find out how his name is actually pronounced and making sure that we pronounce his name the right way. What does it mean here by God's name? God's name, I think of, Roland Hammett, right? I don't think of like letters on a piece of paper, right? I think of a person. I think of a character. I think of the acts of this person, what he looks like, what he does, things like that. So what does it mean by God's name? This is God's identity. This is who he is. This is what he's done. So when we bless God's name, we are exalting him and we are praising him for who he is and what he has done. Psalm 34 verses 1 through 6 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So a believer cannot get over God's grace or God's salvation. We are constantly talking about God being so merciful to people like us. I was really encouraged every time I talk to Brother Dash. He's always talking about God has been so good to me. God is so good to me. And he's always praising. He's always blessing God's name. You know what he's doing? He's glorifying God. He's doing what he was created to do. It says, my soul shall make her boast. This is Psalm 34:2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened and their faces were not ashamed. And I love this verse. I put myself into this verse, right? This poor man cried. This one right here. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. When we realize what God did for us when he saved us, we should not be able to get over it. All times, continuously, we should be seeking to bless God's name, to exalt him for who he is and what he has done. Verse 2 says, show forth his salvation from day to day. We need to be constantly proclaiming God's salvation day to day. This is something that's not done on Sundays, but on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, right? Something we do from day to day. We show forth God's wonderful grace. We talk about what God has done in saving us. We show people what salvation is. We're new creations in Christ Jesus by our seeking to live righteously in a wicked world. We're showing forth God's salvation, showing forth God's work that he's done in our hearts. Verse number 3 says, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. Notice it doesn't say, you know, it would be a good idea if you would, or I would suggest that you would. Declare is an imperative here. It's a command. Amen. Declare his glory. So we need to declare. We're commanded by God to declare God's glory among the heathen. The saving work of a loving God and his humiliation for rebel sinners glorifies him. His works and his salvation all show us how amazing, how wonderful, and how awesome our God is. Our God, our job now should be to declare God's glory to the heathen. God's will is not for Christians to separate themselves, to start their own new Christian civilizations and seclude ourselves from this world as much as we would want to do that, maybe. Especially raising kids, I have that desire, right? But God has called us to shine as lights in the midst of a dark and evil world. If the light is hid under a bushel, what good is it, right? If it's hid under a bed, it's of no use. So it is with a Christian who does not declare God's glory among the heathen. Verse number 7 and 8 says, give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Now, when we think of giving something to someone, a lot of times we think this person doesn't have it and we give it to him. Now he has it, right? So Brother Sam doesn't have a clicker, but I do, right? And so if I were to give him a clicker, then he would have the clicker, right? So does this mean that God doesn't have glory and God doesn't have strength and he needs us to give him our glory and strength? Now think about this. That would be a really puny God. And the glory and the strength that he would get from us would not be the glory and strength that our God is due, right? So think about this. What does it mean to give to the Lord glory and strength? What it means is it means to ascribe unto the Lord. So we are showing, we are declaring to the world that our God is glorious, that our God is powerful, our God is strong, our God can do wonderful things. Our God is all powerful. And so when we're giving to the Lord, we're ascribing unto the Lord glory and strength. And it says the glory due unto his name. All right. Mrs. Dash made us some wonderful Russian food yesterday. Right. Pelmeni, which are meat dumplings, and borscht. Right. The beef soup. And it was wonderful. Right. And I think I told her that it was wonderful. But so you can overpraise something, right? So let's imagine. So I eat this and I say, wow, this is wonderful. I even took a short video and I showed our people in Ukraine, and I forgot to send them the video, but I'll send it to them the video today. I wanted to praise her for this wonderful feat, because it's a big deal to make that kind of a meal. And so I realized the sacrifice and everything. I wanted to thank her for that in a way. But I think I could overthank her. Let's imagine that, you know, Femi fell down to her feet and I said, that was the most wonderful borscht I've ever had in my whole life. I will, every time I eat borscht again, I will never forget this borscht, and I'll, you know, just, it'll pale in comparison to the glory of this borscht, and that pelmeni was the tastiest, and nothing else will compare. And I run out in the street and I say, oh, taste and see, the pelmeni is good. Come and try it for yourself. And it's so good, right? I think you could overpraise something. Do you agree with me? But what it says here is we need to give God the glory due to his name, but I don't think we need to be careful to overpraise our God. Because he's due all glory and he's due all praise. So let us constantly, without ceasing, seek to glorify and to praise our worthy God. And it says, bring an offering, come into his courts. Another way we can praise the good glory to the Lord is by giving an offering. We're not giving bloody sacrifices anymore, because the once and for all atonement for all sins has already been given. Now we're just giving out of the abundance that God has given us. When we do that, we glorify God. You can glorify God by giving an offering. You can glorify God by, it says, coming into his courts, by coming to church, being faithful to the house of the Lord. You glorify God. Verse number 9 says, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You have a beautiful house, we call them Dom Malitvi, a house of prayers, what they call them in Ukraine, in Russian and Ukrainian. But you have a beautiful church building, right? But we've been in some really beautiful church buildings, and you know, I've been able to go to other countries and see these cathedrals, and you know, I've been to St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican, and seen these wonderful gold everything everywhere, and just, you're just like, wow. And you see these priests and all these golden attire, and you see everything, and you're like, wow, this is beautiful. That's not the beauty that God desires. The beauty that God desires is the beauty of holiness. So it's his people seeking to live out their sanctification, seek to work out their salvation, seeking to show the world the transformation that God has created on the inside. That is the beauty that God desires to see in us. And that's the beauty that excites him, the beauty of holiness. That's the beauty that glorifies him. It says in verse number verse number 9, fear before him all the earth. And we don't have time to go into this, but this is an awe. This is a reverence. We're not afraid of God as we were before we were saved. We're not afraid of going to hell. We're not afraid of him judging us for our sins. Now he's our Father, no longer our judge. Now we can come boldly into his presence. And this is an awe. This is a reverence. This is a respect for our God. And when we show God this reverence, this respect in our every daily dealings, we bring glory to him. Verse number 10 says, say among the heathen that the Lord reigns. Declare to the world, declare to your coworkers, declare to your neighbors, declare to your family that Jesus is King. The Lord reigneth. You know, there's a lot of people that are worried right now. There's a lot of things that are uncertain politically and in our nation, right? We saw the gas prices go way up, and then we saw, you know, we hear about now Taiwan and Russia, let alone Ukraine Taiwan and China, and let alone Ukraine and Russia, and then other threats, international threats, and we can worry about the future. And when we as Christians say, you know, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow, right? I'm confident that God is in control. He's going to work everything out for my good and for His glory. Whenever we do that, we glorify God. We have this reliance on God, knowing that He's in control. I heard in our table, one of the brothers quoted Romans 8:28, and we know that all things, without exclusion, without exception, all things work together for good to Christians, to those that are saved, that are called according to His purpose. Look at verses 11 through 13, the last part of this psalm gets us focused on the second coming of Jesus Christ. It says, "Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for He cometh. He cometh, for He cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth." Now, there's not an accident here that the word "His" is there in this verse. We live in this postmodern age where He has His truth and she has her truth. And He wants to be a man today and then a woman tomorrow and then a dog the next day. You know, who are we to judge Him, right? You know, that's their truth. And they believe this way and you can't impose your beliefs on them because that's true to them. And then what's true to you is true to you. This age of truth is relative. It's subjective. But the Bible says that truth is objective, right? The Bible says that the truth is not His and hers. It's His. It's God's truth. And so we need to realize what God's truth is, what God has revealed, and align our thinking to God's truth. That's our job, is not to subject truth, but truth is objective. It's God's truth. But the last three verses talk about the return of Christ. Let the return of Christ motivate us to continue glorifying Him, knowing that, yes, there are injustices. Yes, there are horrible things that take place in this earth, but God is coming and God will restore justice on this earth. The wicked will get their just desert. The righteous will be glorified, right? All of this stuff, God will take care of everything that we're worried about here on this earth. Let's just trust Him and let's just go out and let's just seek to serve Him. Let's seek to glorify Him in everything we do. Eating, drinking, whatever we do, we should do all to the glory of God. Christian, why were you created? You were created to bring glory to God. So, whenever we're distracted on doing many other things, then what are we doing? We're wasting our life. I think a lot of times we can find ourselves just wasting our life. A life is like a vapor. It appears for a moment and then vanishes away. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last, knowing that our time is short and knowing that Jesus is coming very soon. Let us seek to bring glory to Him in everything we do. Let us seek to bless His name continually. Let His praises be in our mouth ceaselessly. Let us glorify Him in everything we do. Amen. Wake up every morning saying, "God, how can I bring glory to You today in my dealings with my wife, in my dealings with my coworkers, in my dealings with the neighbors, in my conversations over the phone, in my, you know, everything. I want to glorify You in this today, Lord. Seek to glorify God and see what God does in your life." Amen.